And the Spirit descended like a dove. What is a dovetail? You see it in well-crafted furniture, and I love it when I see it in a drawer, especially hidden from sight, because cheaper furniture does not have that. The dovetail are two tabs, one surrounding the other. They fit perfectly together, each an exact cutout of the other. And the two pieces hold fast. It's very elegant because nothing else is needed, which is unlike cheaper furniture, where you might have a combination of glue and tacks. It might look the same from the outside, but it won't last. And so now we have Jesus baptized with the Spirit in the form of a dove. And so the connection with our word dovetail and the illustration, it's a wordplay to make this memorable. The Spirit dovetailed with the image of God in Christ. And that explains for us why Jesus was baptized. Now, John the Baptist, as we just heard, did not understand why Jesus would be baptized. The gospel reading said John would have prevented him. However, Jesus' response was, "It is fitting. It is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." And so, righteousness was fulfilled. And we'll explain why, and there's a basic answer that I've given here before. I'll go through that relatively briefly, so that we can go even further to the basics about why Jesus had to be baptized. Now, a good answer, and the right answer, is that Jesus' baptism anticipates the cross. As we know, Jesus didn't need to die for his sins because he had no sins. He died for our sins. And likewise, Jesus didn't need to be baptized, but he was baptized for our sake. And so the writer to the Hebrews says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death." So that's how the incarnation anticipates the cross. He took on our nature so that he might destroy death through that. But then what about baptism? The writer to the Hebrews later says, "Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in every respect. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, or tried as we are, yet without sinning." So Jesus does not have our sin, but he's entered into every aspect of the human experience, baptism notwithstanding. And so he's not above us in any way, except for the fact that he has not sinned. But this still begs the question, for he didn't need to repent. Elsewhere, John says that this is a baptism for repentance. That's in a few verses just before our gospel reading today. So you can't wash away what's already clean, right? There's no dirt to wash off them of sin, so to speak. But here's where we get into the mystery and the fact that the Holy Spirit was part of Jesus' baptism. Now, when icons represent the baptism of Christ, the Holy Spirit and the cloud from whence it came is covered in what is called a mandorla. And that mandorla is a border, so to speak, that shows that what is inside is not seen by the natural man, but it is a mystery. And in fact, the way it's depicted is the closer you get to the mystery, in the case of the Transfiguration, that would be Jesus, in this case, it would be the Holy Spirit, the darker the surrounding shading gets, which is to show that the closer you get to the mystery, the harder it is to understand. And so John the Baptist didn't expect this, didn't expect the Holy Spirit component to this baptism, so he didn't know why it was necessary. Now, it is still a baptism of repentance. To understand why Jesus undertook this, along with the giving of the Holy Spirit, let us understand, at least remind ourselves, what the Christian understanding of repentance is. For we often see repentance as something grim. Maybe it's a punishment, or you have to respond to something that was wrong, and you might have to go and ask for forgiveness, which is difficult. But repentance is not something that is like a dark tunnel you have to get through. No, it is an appropriation of light. And in that sense, it is beautiful, and it is the way to joy. And as some of you saw in the midweek message, I quoted Jonathan Jackson, who pointed out that St. Isaac the Syrian said that a life well lived is all repentance and not and devoid of vain pursuits. And this means that we are following what is whole, what is healthy, in place of what is fallen and what is fake. And so it is, Dostoevsky famously said, beauty will save the world. And we need to be saved because the fall of humanity was a loss of beauty. But repentance restores that beauty. And this unlocks for us further why it was fitting for Jesus to be baptized. The word for repentance in the Greek is metanoia, which means a change of mind, literally. And so with that view, Jesus can receive a baptism of repentance. As a human, his mind could be expanded. He could grow in understanding as he grew in favor and in stature with God and man, as the scriptures tell us. And in this sense, can you ever have too much joy? Can you ever have too much light? Can you ever have too much beauty? Jesus' humanity was perfect, and he received a spirit that complements what was already unstained, like a dovetail that fits perfectly together. So it's good, for example, if a saint marries a sinner, and then throughout the course of his life, she eventually converts him. But even better if a saint marries a saint, and they bring, through the course of their life, light to the whole region. And so here, this Holy Spirit, so to speak, marries the sinless soul and flesh of our Lord. And this is the role of the Holy Spirit in his baptism. This is the dovetail. And this is why Jesus says, it is fitting that he be baptized. And I say this with another intentional play on words to remind us of that opening illustration, because this is what is inseparable, what was made to be, one cut out, perfectly prepared for the other. And Jesus truly, as he hears the words, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, no doubt was an encouragement to him that he is headed on the right way. And it is after his baptism, made especially clear in the Gospel of Mark, that Jesus begins his ministry. Now, the sense of the word metanoia, change of mind, has a sense of a 180-degree turn. And that is what it's like for you and me when we're walking in the darkness and we turn back towards the way of light. Now, Jesus simply didn't have to make this turn. So if it's getting dark and it's cold and rainy and you want to move towards home and you're going in the wrong direction, when you realize the right way, you get that in that direction in a hurry. But how much better to already be headed in the right way and to have more strength and grace for that direction. And so Jesus receives this boost and affirmation from the Holy Spirit and the Father. And so this is also what you and I need as we're called to begin our ministry. In your baptism, you receive the transformation of your soul. And in this sense, your soul is conformed more fully to the image of God in Christ. But the Holy Spirit keeps doing this, and the goal is that ultimately this dovetails with the direction of your heart, rather than turning you in another direction. And this is where the connection is with this passage in Pentecost. For as Jesus told John when John was initially resisting the baptism, Jesus said that he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, the world simply cannot understand the way of the cross. They don't see what the redeemed see within that mandorla, so to speak. Take, for example, the Beatitudes, which completely oppose the ways of the world. The meekness, the mourning, that which we have that leads to joy only in Christ. And even the apostles throughout the record of the Gospels couldn't understand the way of the cross, as Peter even tried to prevent that way himself. But then in the upper room, when Jesus breathed on them from within his own flesh that he took on for our sakes, he gives breath and he baptizes them with the Spirit that he received. And what happens? They change. And then they know the way of the cross. And so then what does he tell them? He says, go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Now the apostles needed the Holy Spirit to continually enable this. But at this point, the Holy Spirit would come and dovetail with their intentions. And so you and I, throughout the scriptures, are called to continually seek the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit. And this happens as we enter more deeply into the mystery. As one commentator on the symbolism of icons says, we must pass through stages of what seem like increasing mystery and unknowing in order to encounter Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit gives us this mystery that dovetails with the cry of our hearts. Even in Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, even as we grow, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us to complete the desires of our hearts before the Father's that we can't even fully express on our own. And once you have the Holy Spirit, then the Lord can confirm where you're going. As you hear those encouraging words, you are my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased. And so Paul constantly says, do not resist the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Be filled. And this is fitting. And this is so that you can fulfill all righteousness. And so if your heart has been sanctified, if you're already on the way, then a life of repentance will further you on that way as you continue to embrace more fully what is beautiful. And this is how the Holy Spirit can dovetail with your life so that you can live it more fully. And as you do so, then like the apostles, you will make disciples. You will lead others to baptism like a living icon. Your life will become more beautiful as you lead others in the way of wholeness and health.